we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you this Lord's Day, and what a beautiful day we have outside, and what warm hearts and good singing we have on the inside. We're ending our series, Your New Normal, this week, and so this is the fourth lesson. And this series has been about what do you do when there's nothing you can do? When you feel stuck in life and you feel like all your options are bad, and you feel like that you want an escape, but you know all the escapes would be wrong. Things like drugs and alcohol or just running away wouldn't work either. And so you struggle with how do you live in your new normal situation. In the first week, we looked at how when we're in these difficult times in our life, it doesn't mean that God is angry. It doesn't mean that God is absent or that He doesn't care, that He's apathetic. But rather that God is still present with us even during the difficult moments. In the second week, we observe, after studying Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, that we have the option of seeing our situation as an opportunity put upon us by God. In fact, Paul even saw his thorn in the flesh as a gift from God that came with a purpose to keep him from being conceited and came with the promise that His grace is sufficient. And so when we're in these situations that God often, and we must trust in, that God has a purpose, and we cling to His promise, that His grace is sufficient for us. And that when we are weak, then we are strong, as Paul says. And then last week we studied from Philippians chapter 4 about contentment. And the secret to contentment is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, chapter 4, verse 13. And we observe that we must come to the point where we say, I can't, but He can, and He can through me. And this week then, as we wrap this series up and conclude it in all of our thoughts, I want us to take it one step farther and think about how we should use our new normal experiences. And we should use the difficult times in our life when we've been brought through these things and even through our endurance of them to be a sharer of comfort with others. And that when we're going through these new normal experiences, whatever experience you may be in now in your life, we need to find others around us who can share their comfort with us. And that the way we often must make it and endure through our afflictions is through the strength of others and the comfort and help of others. And so we're going to be looking at Paul's famous passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 about comfort. But before we do, I want to say that we need to understand that one of the purposes God has in these experiences is maturing us. Alex L. said, I'm thankful for struggle because without it I would not have stumbled across my strength. Paul, in Romans chapter 5, is going to say it like this in verses 2 through 5, that through faith we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering that we've experienced produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So this morning we're going to be thinking about how we should produce this endurance and how our character is changed and should grow closer to the image of Christ as we endure these difficult times in our life, as we experience things that maybe don't ever end, that we experience for the rest of our life, as we endure these things, how our character is shaped, and how our faith is strengthened, and how we learn to rely upon others, and we learn to be a blessing to others. So we're thinking about maturity and how we mature. You see, God is at work through these things. As a preacher, and I know as a human being, one of the most difficult times that you face and I face is when we walk with people through difficult times in their life. Times where they ask us questions and we have no answer for. Why am I the one who has this disease? Why did my loved one have to die now? Why is it that I can't find anybody that loves me and cares for me? Why can't I have children? Why am I going through this divorce? I never wanted to go through a divorce. Difficult and hard questions. One of the things I've noticed as we think about those questions and in those times, and as I'm often called upon maybe to address and comfort people, I understand that the minister and that Christians and elders, that we have a place of comfort and a role in comforting others, and we can serve a purpose. And often I believe be helpful in comforting others. But I've also realized that nothing takes the place of someone who has been there before comforting someone who's going through it now. And so we observe that there's this fellowship of suffering. And Paul's going to talk about this in this letter of 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 1, he's going to address this issue that we're suffering so that we can give you strength and comfort. In fact, we must observe that those who have suffered are uniquely qualified to comfort those who are suffering. You can see it when someone like this walks into the room when you're addressing those kind of issues. There's this direct connection of, I've been through this, you've been through this, you're going through it. And there's a way that those who are experiencing similar things can relate to one another. It's the fellowship of suffering, we might say. And what it is they're able to give life, they're able to give hope to the one who's going it. Comforting is life-giving to the comforter as well. There's this reciprocal nature in it. That when you give comfort to others, because you've been through it, you also receive comfort back from them. And this deeper concept, this idea of the fellowship of suffering, this idea that we go through hard times so that we can bless others, and then we're blessed when we bless others, it's really pretty deep, and we don't like to think about it because we don't want to go through these things. But Paul is someone who's going to talk about the purpose and how we can be a blessing to others because we have experienced and are living a new normal situation. So let's look at his passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and kind of walk through it, and then we'll look at it overall as a whole as well. But notice Paul says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies," or of compassions and mercies, "and the God of all comforts." The one who comforts us in all our afflictions. Now, I want you to observe that first part of the phrase there, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Notice that we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I think this is the same letter that 10 chapters later, 12 chapters later, chapter 12, we studied in week 2. Chapter 12. Verses 8 and following was what our text was in week 2. And at that occasion, beginning at verse number 7, we realized that Paul had received a thorn in the flesh. And Paul says that in verse 9, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." The same letter, In chapter 1, he says, it's the God of all mercies, the God of all compassion, the God of all comfort. In chapter 12, he says, I pleaded with him, I begged with him on three occasions, probably seasons of life. Three times, I begged that he would take this thorn in the flesh away, my new normal situation, I begged that he would take it away, and God didn't do it. Notice that Paul still sees, even though he's not getting what he wants in prayer, God is still the God of all comfort. God is still the Father of all mercies. God is still the one whom he praises and trusts in. You see, Paul did not adjust his view of God and throw out his view of God as the God of love and compassion and comfort just because he experienced a tough time in life. There's something to be said for that, isn't it? We need to have a solid theology of who God is, and that God is a God of love and compassion, and also a God of justice, a God that requires things from us, obedience and things. We need to have a solid view of who our God is, that our God spoke once and for all when he's offered up his son, Jesus, on the cross for us, that he loves us and that we are valuable for him, and that just because we go through hard times and we plead with him and our prayers are not answered the way we want them answered does not change who God is. God is the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. And he comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able, notice this, so that we can, that's the idea, so that we are able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The term comfort here is a word that's used in various ways throughout the New Testament, in a family of words, really. And the idea is to call one to your side. The same term that's used in another form for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit indwells us and he is someone who the apostles are said to be able to call to their side and things. He's a guide and aid to the apostles. And he's a blessing in it. And someone who makes a difference in our life. He is the comforter, as John says. We are to comfort others. And this idea of comfort is we can call someone to our side. And so in the context of God as the God of our comfort, we can call God to our side. And then in the context of us being able to comfort others, we can go to the side of others. We can walk alongside them and help them and encourage them. You see, it's the idea that it's not just sympathy. It's not just I'm sorry. But it's empowering empathy. It brings about change. It steals a person to keep going. It involves the idea that even though this bad has happened, I want you to know that I've walked through it. I've experienced it. And I'm here to tell you, you can do it with belief and with hope and trust. And that God is still the God of mercy and comfort. You see, what do we pray for when we're going through hard times? Do we pray for comfort? Or do we pray, like I mostly tend to pray in situations of sufferings, persecutions, or hard times? God, get me out of this. Like Paul. God, take this thorn in the flesh away. I don't want this anymore. Paul is teaching us that we should pray, God, for your comfort. Not just to remove the situation. That's fine to pray that as well, but God, give me this comfort to endure the situation. If you will not take it away, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the knowledge, the wisdom to endure the trial, the testing. You see, the idea of comfort here and how God does it involves two ideas. Number one, through deliverance. And Paul certainly experienced this. We don't have the time to go through all the
detailed passages in this same epistle. But if you go to chapter 4 and you look at verses 7 and following, he talks about the apostles and about how they've been afflicted. They were crushed. They were perplexed, but they were not driven to despair. They were persecuted, but not forsaken. They were struck down, but not destroyed. They were always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. They were suffering, but they were delivered often. If you go to chapter 11, you have that long discourse in verses 16 through the end of the chapter, where Paul speaks about all the things that he's endured, all the sufferings he's gone through. For example, he says in verses 23 and following that he's had far more imprisonments, countless beatings. He's often been near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. He talks about all the things he's endured. How did Paul go through all these situations? How did he make it through them? Well, God, first of all, his comfort involves deliverance. Sometimes, as Paul alludes to in these passages, God delivered him. And we need to pray, and we need to trust, and we need to believe that God can deliver us. God can change our circumstances. And then when we're going through hard times, trust and believe in deliverance. His comfort might involve direct deliverance and God changing those situations. But also his comfort, as Paul is alluding to here and directly says back in verse number 4, chapter 1, verse 4, his comfort is through others. His comfort comes through others. Paul found comfort in others. In the apostolic group, in the other apostles that were suffering. He found comfort in the Christians that were suffering. He found comfort in Luke and Timothy and Titus who were suffering with him. He found comfort in the fact that he was suffering and there was a purpose that he could then comfort others. You see, Paul would teach us here in chapter 1, 3, and 4 that he comforts us through others to comfort others. You know, I don't know why God designed it all this way. Certainly us humans didn't design it, right? We would just avoid all the suffering and things. But God, when sin entered the world and everything in the world changed, God created the church. And this is one of the reasons for the church. So that we can walk together. We don't have to go and try to make it to heaven on our own. That as we experience problems and struggles and struggles with our faith, and struggles with our life, and struggles with our families, we have one another. He comforts us. God works through you. That God, you are his body. You're his mouth. You're his hands. And God comforts others through you. And one of the significant things here is that often we misunderstand that the degree to which we have experienced life, whatever situations we've gone through, and each of you have unique situations that make you unique versus other people. And really to the degree that we have experienced sufferings and challenges in our own unique life, it makes you uniquely qualified to comfort others. There's some people that you can be the one that walks into that room. That you can identify with them and you can share your hope. And you can let them know that, you know, it's hard. And I know it's hard, but don't quit believing. Keep the faith. God is the God of all comfort. And I'm a living testimony that God will walk with you. And you give a hug. Maybe you don't say those things audibly, but you represent those things because you're someone who have made it through. And you're still here. And you're still faithful to the Lord. And you're still praising Him. That even though your thorn in the flesh has not been taken away, you still say God is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. You see, you are unique. because you're a sharer of comfort. You see, God comforts us through deliverance, but He also comforts us through others. So Paul says, just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. That the degree to which we suffered and identified with Jesus is the degree to which we are able to bless others. Paul even will go on to say, but if we are afflicted, if we're going through hard times, it is for your comfort and your salvation. Think about that. Paul says that we're going through all these things as apostles and as Timothy and Titus and Luke and his fellow workers. And we're going through all these hard times. He says, but you know what? I'm not begrudging it. I'm not bitter about it. I don't even endure the thorn in the flesh. And God's grace is sufficient to cover me because I know that it's for your salvation. There's a lot of missionaries. There's a lot of preachers and preachers' wives on foreign fields, in remote places. They're living out this verse. That are struggling with encouragement, struggling, don't know if they're going to get the check for the next month from some church that's sending them some money, and they're in a far-off place. But they're there. Why? They're there. Why? Because they want to bring about the salvation. It's worth it. They're afflicted, but it's for the comfort and salvation of those who they're ministering to. Notice the end of this verse. It's for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Now come back with me. We've been breaking this apart, breaking this verse down. Why is Paul saying that all this, that Paul can endure all these things? Because it's producing, and it will work to produce patient endurance in these brethren. Then it will cause them to not quit. It will cause them to keep on keeping on because they can say, you know what? Paul made it through it. Timothy made it through it. Titus made it through it. They are a living testament. Look at the apostles. They're being put to death. They're being beaten. Look at all that Paul suffered. Surely I can bear up. Surely I can continue to hope with what I'm enduring. I can keep the faith. I can hold on. It will produce patient endurance because you're enduring some of the same sufferings that we also suffer. You see, our hope for you then is firmly grounded, knowing that you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are a sharer of our comfort. You share in our sufferings, and you're able to share in our comfort. How many people have experienced, and we see this in secular life, and we see this in spiritual life as well, people that have gone through hard times, but what do? They use those situations that they're in to bless others. And they find that there's a reciprocal nature there. When they bless others, they themselves are blessed. Sometimes they start groups, they start ministries, they start groups so that people can get together and talk and be a fellowship of suffering. Sometimes they are activists and do things to make a difference in the church. They're there and they tell the minister, they tell them, hey, if you know someone dealing with this, if I can help you, if I can help people, let me know and I will talk to them about it. They want to walk with those who are walking through the same thing they're still walking through. You see, we're sharers of comfort. And it is the case that often this is a part of the purpose that God has intended. And this is a part of all that God created when He created the church, because He knew we needed one another to rely upon and to find strength in one another. And so this morning, if you need to turn to the church, if you need your brethren, if you need them in a public way, we're going to extend the invitation for you to come forward. If you need to put Christ on in baptism to become a child of God, then do that. you need to rededicate your life, if you need to come back to the church, then do that. If you need to just request prayers for strength, for encouragement, you're not the only one who struggled with that, I will assure you. And you'll find that strength. You'll find that encouragement. Maybe you just need to go to someone privately. Someone you know that is dealing with what you're dealing with. You need to ask them, hey, I need help. I'm struggling. I need a safe place just to find strength and hope. Can you help me? And they'll be there to help you. If you need to respond, then please respond as together we stand and sing.